This is RSBNB Update, episode 19, for Saturday, October 22nd, 2005. Hey everyone, Shane1288 here with this week's episode of RSBNB Update, episode 19. I'm Shane1288, here with Chris, previously known as Bummer Boy. We are coming from our flat terrain areas where we currently reside. Pico was here earlier today, however he has mysteriously gone missing, so I will be doing this week's show with Chris. Would you care to say hello?
Hello!
Alright. So basically, we're going to follow the same format of the show as we always want to. However, if you guys remember last week's show, we were unable to do that because there was a lack of RuneScape updates. Except a CPU fan failure. So, we're going to get started this week because we have lots to talk about. So basically, this week there was two quests released. I don't know, how would you describe a quest that's easy and geared towards everyone? How would you describe a quest like that?
An easy quest is one that doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
And not much thinking.
Yeah, okay. So, basically this week we had two quests that were on total opposite ends of the spectrum. First quest, I'll start with the less interesting one, I guess, which is called Wanted. You need to track down a fugitive on RuneScape. There's this dangerous criminal called Solas. He's returned. So basically, you need to help the White Knights track him down. You're given this interesting orb that lets you talk to this central agency in which they can give you updates on his position. It also serves as a tracking device for this person. Have you heard anything about this, or any comments?
No. I don't know if you know this, but I have recently retired once again.
Oh, yeah. I see. You still get on Chop Wood on your account, though?
Once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, with this quest, you have to... leads you on a wild goose chase. Could lead you many places, such as Caniphus, Champions Guild, Camelot, Relica, a whole bunch of places.
Basically all over?
Oh yeah, all over. But it's not too hard. The quest has the ability, or it was reported that the monster in the quest has the ability to hit 40s on you. However, I did not see this. I was able to take him out without having any significant effects on me.
Liars.
Yeah. Well, you're given an item, and then you have to go find that. For example, you're given a bone spear. That means you need to go to the mines underneath Lumbridge from the goblin quest a while back. So, That sort of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. I had experienced a glitch doing that in which this person backed all the way up. So... it's a good quest. If you're looking for something to do and you've done the White's Knight quest, I'd recommend that you try this one. So, I don't know. Probably rate this one, 3 out of 5. So, it was an okay quest. In the end, she got access to the White Knight armory. So, 3 out of 5. But, the other quest that was released this week was Morning's End Part 2, which was supposed to be a closure to the series, to the Plague City series, involving the Plague City series, which led Plague City, Biohazard, Underground Pass, Regicide, etc. So, basically with this quest, you need to restore this mystical shield type thingamadoo in which you'll it will prevent people from accessing the Temple of Light, which supposedly makes it so that is a great defense. I don't know about
this. It sounds too complicated.
It was complicated, actually. Like, the ending of this quest wasn't the best. I think it could have been done better. Basically, your reward is just agility experience and access to the Death Altar for runecrafting. That also came out. So, if you're a high enough level runecrafter, you could... That's a good reward from this. But the puzzles on this are very complex. I wouldn't, as a matter of fact, attempt this without a guide or something, unless you're feeling really... In case you're feeling really adventurous, because there's multiple floors to make the light go and whatnot. So, the quest also has a high agility component where... So, the quest, my opinion of this quest is it was okay, but I think the reward could have been better. It also, I don't feel it closed up the series that well.
What was the reward?
Death Talisman, 20,000 agility experience, so.
I could certainly use that. My agility was at like 28. I did not like doing that.
Yeah, well, you need 56 to, because you need to do a regicide to do this quest, which required 56 agility, and underground pass, which is also extensive, so.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's, but the light maze that it put together looked kind of neat in the end. There's the way that the light was being reflected and everything.
Well, at least we're getting better graphics.
Yeah. Yeah, the Death Altar's actually, if you ever get, for anybody listening who often birth hopes a Slayer assignment and gets ghosts, the Death Altar is a good place to kill ghosts because there's tons of them in there. So, definitely portrays a death-type theme.
I remember that picture. That was really cool.
Which one?
The picture of the Death Altar.
Oh, yeah, I have it on the blog here. There's a whole bunch of also dead corpses. Oh, does that make sense? Dead corpses?
There has been discoveries of living corpses.
Oh, really?
Down in New Jersey, I believe.
Really? I've never heard anything about that. Perhaps you'd care to enlighten us on this?
no comment.
Okay. Okay. Well, basically in this quest, you restore the power to the shield, I'm going to call it, that protects the light temple from enemy forces. Then at the end, basically you just need to, you find out that it's the dwarfs who are interested in getting into this. Anyways, speaking of the dwarf, he wants like a list of 50 items that he needs in order to at the end of the quest. Some of them are quite odd, but you'll have to take probably around 3 or 4 trips to take it there.
God.
Yeah.
It's a waste of my time.
Like, he wants, I'll give you an example of some of them. He wanted a knife, white berries, needle, thread, rune essence, cake tin, pie dish, pot of flour, just a whole bunch of weird things. Anyways.
Useless things?
But I don't think this closed out the series that well. We're going to talk about this more in questions when that comes up.
Okie doke.
Yep. So basically, if you're looking for an interesting puzzle, recommend you try this quest to do. I liked it, but it wasn't that good of an ending. Alright, I guess we'd better move on to questions now.
Okie dokie.
This week we have a wide selection of questions. Did you do any of the first quests? Actually, how about I read the question first?
Yeah, that works.
What do you think of the Biohazard series as a whole? It's from Trekkie. So basically what I'm asking you is, did you do any of the quests, like Plague City, Biohazard, Underground Pass, stuff like that?
Yeah, I did the first one. I think I ended at Underground Pass. I think that was the last one I did.
Oh, yeah. So what did you think of the story before that?
Oh, it was pretty good. I'm good for getting like a storyline quest rather than just single quests.
Yeah, definitely on that. But it's interesting because in the at the end, when you come back from the Regicide quest, you find out, forget whether it's Regicide or Underground Pass, you find out you're working for the wrong side. So that was a nice little twist. So I don't know, did you get that twist yet or no?
No.
Okay, so obviously it's after Regicide. But so it's that's a nice little twist in it. Then the Regicide starts by somebody delivering you a message. So it's a good series. I like it. But how'd you like it altogether?
Pretty fun to actually do that, cuz in what keeps, it's nothing like brand new, you keep going on in the series. It's kind of more interesting than
single. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we like that. Also, it introduces, there's 1, 2, 3 shortcuts now to get to the Elven territory rather than going through the Underground Pass. So that's kind
of
good.
I don't think I was ever able to. I have too low of agility to do any shortcuts at all.
Yeah, you need 56. There's lots of traps in there and whatnot. So definitely not something you'd want to attempt with less than 56 agility. I even had trouble at it at 56. I had to get a few potions. So anyways, another thing that came along with this update, which I just want to go back to the update for a sec. They introduced a new Slayer monster at level 90 called the Dark Beast. But there's really nobody fighting them.
Does it drop anything?
Which is kind of strange.
Does it drop anything?
Do they drop it? They drop Death Talismans.
Oh.
So, before people finish the quest, those were going for quite a large amount. So, yeah. Death Talismans, I guess, and also gems, so people assume half shield, maybe. So, they probably dropped something good, except not many people have gone there to fight them. We're still probably going to be getting an item list of that pretty soon. So, also, it was appeared that Jagex asked RuneScape fan sites to not put out a guide for this one just yet. We didn't get asked, but some of the bigger ones, such as, got asked.
That enables you to be able to put it on without them knowing.
Yeah.
You can be first.
And then it would enable, well, our guide system isn't even ready to start displaying stuff yet. But that's still being worked on.
Both starting from scratch is pretty hard.
Oh, it is. It is, definitely. So, I don't know. But I don't know. I guess Jagex wants people to have a fair chance at trying it without a guide. Anyways, back to the questions. I think the series was pretty good so far. You think the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Next, what combat stats and items do you think you need to defeat the level 702 in the new minigame? In that new Fight Pits minigame?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely pretty high. I'd say definitely higher than Combat 100.
Yeah.
And definitely using prayers properly and the right type of attack.
I think Dan said he won one of the games, and I don't think, is he 100 yet?
No, he's not 100.
I think he said he won one of those, though.
I know Mike tried a few times to get to it, but he had some trouble getting closer to the 702. So it's definitely something that's hard. I'd say probably more than 100 combat.
Yeah, definitely. And lots of sharks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a special armor like Guthan.
Yeah.
Heals you.
And
so I guess that's our thoughts on that. What podcasts do you guys listen to regularly from Jeff? You listen to any?
Not really. Is it radio?
This?
Well, yeah, listen to this. This? Of course.
But it's not a true podcast yet.
No.
Not yet. Not yet, but it will be sponsors. Eventually. Anyways, podcasts I listen to numerous from the old Tech TV people. Tech TV was a channel way back when. Mm-hmm. There's podcasts, videocasts. Watch System, which is it's released at erratic intervals. It's kind of goes in depth on certain things like building a war spying device that lets you spy on wireless cameras.
Oh.
That would certainly be interesting.
Really interesting.
And then another thing was making your own audio-video cables. You know those monster cables they sell at the electronics store for like $150?
Yeah.
How to make those for a fraction of the cost. So, stuff like that. That one does. And then there's Twit, which is This Week in Tech. That's good. And then Dignation. Selected stories off the Dig website. Those are the ones that I listen to.
Oh.
That I listen to. Listen. Not listens.
Learn your grammar. Go back to school.
Yeah. I am in school.
Go back to school again.
Anyways. That question was from Jeff. Jeff.
Jeffrey.
Yes. You're Christopher.
I'm Krispy Kreme, according to Krisala.
Okay. Next question is an audio question from Alex43. I will play the question now.
Now that Morning's End Part 2 is finished, it seems like you've practically saved the world. However, is the entire multi-quest over yet? What will happen to King Luathes and Westar Doom? What do King Tyrus' men mean by the dark times? Somebody is not telling the truth, and that is making all the difference. So what do you guys think is going to go on?
I don't know. What do you think? It just ended too abrupt to have a spectacular... Like, there are other quests that had more spectacular endings.
I definitely
agree that it's
not
done yet.
Yeah, usually if you've got something like that, it'll keep going.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're going to bring the dwarves into it. Because the quest does end with a dwarf. So, and then you were working for the wrong side, so it's just too much confusion.
I don't think they'd try to leave.
End it, right?
I don't think they'd try to leave players in suspense. That would get them a little mad.
Yeah. Like, there's still that big elven city that with the gates locked. It's just too much of a mystery still. It's like you're going into something that's, that you know how big it is. You know how big it is, but you don't know what's actually inside of it. It's like this, it's like a big region that you know it's a fixed size, but you have no idea what's in it. That's what this series is kind of turning out to be, where we know how big it's gonna be, but we don't know what's gonna happen and how long it'll go on for, or how deep it is.
Maybe they're running out of ideas.
That sort of thing. Hmm? Oh, okay. I know it's kind of hard for you to comment on this since you're not a member.
Yeah.
And don't do this.
Maybe they're just running out of ideas.
Maybe. I don't know. There's one more quest this month. I'd like to see what November has in store in December, so all we can do is wait. That was from Alex43. Final question, do you think Jagex listens to RSBNB Update?
Oh yes, because Jagex cares about us so much. We are special in their mind.
I don't think they listen to this show.
I don't even think they care about their players anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Like, they could be doing a number of things better if I was in their position that I know I would be doing better.
They're just your typical business now.
Yeah, business, not based on the game. I guess that's the way things go eventually.
Mm-hmm. But they got so big, I think it neared 150,000 people today.
Really?
Yes.
That is big.
It's the biggest I've seen it.
I wonder what it's at right now. 136,000 on right now at this time, middle of afternoon on a Saturday.
I remember just a little bit ago, just like last year, we were all amazed that it was like 70,000.
I'm betting that the most, the highest proportion of these people is free-to-play people.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's that many members.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Earlier, like, the smallest, least populated world had, like, 1,400 people.
Yeah. So, definitely increasing in size, as most things do. Anyways, there's your guys' questions for today. There will be more questions next week. Let's go on to tech news now.
Yay.
Yeah. Have you seen this picture I have of the four-dimensional object represented as a three-dimensional object?
That's really funky, too.
I know. I was looking at this. It's hard to wrap your head around. I'd like to see it in real life.
Yeah.
It's just weird how it works. Four dimensions? It's kind of hard to wrap your head around. But they say the best way to do it is, you know how the globe, like the Earth, is a three-dimensional object,
yes.
Right? And we can easily map it on a two-dimensional surface on a piece of paper,
definitely.
Right? So the way to look at objects is to look at them in one dimension less. So the way to look at a four-dimensional object is to look at it in three dimensions. Mm. Kind of like making a map to
yeah.
it.
You think they could ever get to through four dimensions?
I don't know. I'd like... It just looks weird, this shape. Each thing looks like it's going a different direction.
Yeah.
I'd like to get my hands on it. I don't know, just something interesting for you guys to look at. I always find these type of things, even though they're not technologically related to something.
Certainly interesting.
I'll post this picture with the episode here. The next thing is, there was an accidental invention that could be killing off light bulbs. So somebody invented a new form of type of light that wasn't even meant to be invented, but it could be replacing light bulbs.
Huh.
Like, you know, the standard incandescent lamps are 90% or 95% heat and 5%
mm-hmm.
light. So
those are already be taken over by fluorescent lights, though.
Yeah. What do you guys got there?
We have a bunch of, you know, they have the little, like, little fluorescent lights that are, like, spirals?
Spiraled?
Yeah. We have a bunch of those.
Yeah. I find those hard to work
with.
They're
not too bright.
Yeah. Anyways, an accidental discovery using quantum dots was supposed to emit a blue light, however it emitted a yellowish glowing light. So, these dots have between 100 to 1,000 electrons in them. An electron is a tiny, tiny charge. So, quantum dot mixtures could be painted on just about anything and electrically excited to produce a rainbow of colors, including
light. So, it's basically not, like, light, it's like... What is it?
Well, it's electrons, then they excite them with a small current, and then they illuminate light.
So it would take very little electricity?
Yeah. And then, I think, depending on the frequency, probably, that would change the color. So,
That's really weird.
And then, we all know that LEDs came out, which produce green, red, and yellow light only. So, that limits, of course, their use. And then there's the blue LEDs that are supposed to be kind of white, like those ones they put in the cars. You guys have lots of those there?
Neon?
Yeah.
Not really. If you ever go to Mexico, though, you'll see a bunch of people in crappy cars with underlights. It's actually funny.
Yeah. Oh, you've been to Mexico?
Last year we took a trip to Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's nice when people can take trips like that, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, basically, just a little comparison on this website here. LEDs produce twice as much light as a regular 60-watt bulb and burn for over 50,000 hours. So, it's also, like, this decreasing energy consumption, which is something that is a major problem in the world today. The consumption of energy,
mm-hmm.
because the fuels and whatnot are being burnt out. It's just time to find new sources of energy and light.
Light's just not that easy.
I know. It's expensive to do that. Mm-hmm. So, well, basically, one more final thing on this one. If the new process can be developed into a commercial production, light won't just come from newfangled bulb. Quantum dot mixtures could be painted on anything. So does that mean that you could have you could paint one wall in a room and then that would be the light for the room, maybe?
I don't know, that's pretty thing. That's something you kind of think about there.
Yeah.
I mean, what if happens if you want to paint the room again?
Yeah, then you might lose the light, or there might be some sort of specific paint you can buy.
I wonder how much it would probably cost.
I don't know. Electrons are free. So, probably just the money to create the mixture. Anyways, I'm sure we'll be seeing more of this kind of innovational stuff later on. Well, just a little hack or mod or whatever you want to call it now. You know, there's things such as, you know, the default Ethernet cables are Cat5 cables, the cables that plug into a cable modem and then into a computer. Somebody has managed to use one of those to send a VGA signal, which is a signal that comes out of your computer. So basically what this would do is it would allow you to send VGA signals in a smaller wire. So it's a hack that anybody could do. It has a diagram of what you need to do with the pins.
Not
so,
me.
No. Like, these things are really small, so you need, like, a microscope or something, maybe, to do it.
I wonder how people figure these things out.
I don't know. Probably electric engineers.
Yeah, probably.
Because this thing says you connect pin 7 to pin 1, pin 8 to pin 6, pin 4 to pin 7, pin 6 to pin 5, through 10, and then to 8, and then pin 3... to pin 3.
What?
1 to 14, 2 to 14. This is just a little diagram. I'll post this diagram up.
Yikes.
So, that's just the diagram of how to connect everything up.
Okay.
And that, basically, if somebody could figure out how to put an Ethernet port onto a router, and then you'd be in business, and you could just use that rather than a normal cable. I don't know. I'm not going to be doing anything like this in the near future. You know anybody that likes this kind of stuff?
My friend does. He's his dad's a mechanic, and he likes a lot of things like electric things and stuff with cars and such.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could do that in a car. That might be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Now, what's our favorite segment of each week?
Rants.
Yay. So, we have two rants this week. We're going to discuss them. You want to read one?
All right. Well, after more than 1 year of waiting, we can now craft death runes. That is, those that can use the abyss can craft death runes. The rest can only buy. Come on, Jagex, where is the logic? You place the altar inside a temple of light. Death should not be there. Under a quest that's so annoying that my blood pressure would have gone through the roof if tested, and there is no way to teleport. Well, when I'm a level 65 runecrafting, I can't be able to make the deaths. The abyss is full of wannabe PKers. Jagex should have foreseen that, but no, the Jagex logic strikes again. So the Abyss was a good update, yes, yet useless for those that don't want to be in a PvP fight. But I asked myself, was this needed? How is it that Jagex can find time and work power in making not one, but two skills, and even update one of them with new monsters, yet don't manage to finish runecrafting because they don't have the areas to place the new altars? It's a joke, really. There are many locations for the new altars if they just open their eyes and see. That ghost town near Canifis could be extended a little and give birth to a death altar. It would be some walk to a bank, but those that don't want to use the abyss could at least manage to make the ruins. Congratulations, Jagex, you have done it again. Yet again you have made an update for some skillers, not all. I don't want to be forced into a PvP fight, yet it looks like you're doing anything you can do to just... And then it ends there.
I don't know. The Abyss is a good thing. I think this person doesn't like being PK'd.
No, people are never satisfied these days. They think everything's got to be easy for them. Nothing should be hard.
They want it their own way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. So, say you go to the Abyss, there's a person standing there waiting to PK you, they teleblock you, and then you run away crying because you got killed. That's part of the risk. If you don't like it, get some more combat levels.
No kidding. I mean, this is...
I was killed twice in a week doing that. That is why I'm doing combat. Most of the people there that kill people are around a level that I'm vulnerable to, so therefore I'm raising my level.
No kidding. This reminds me, you ever seen those commercials with the easy button? I can't remember what company it was.
Staples.
Oh yeah, do they think that this will be for everything? There isn't an easy button. You gotta risk it.
Huh. Oh yeah, that's a good analogy. Easy button for RuneCraft.
All people think is that everything should be easy, just for them.
No. I think that's a bad thing. People, I think, are just inherently lazy. In real life and on the game.
Definitely. And if you're lazy on a computer, then wow. I don't know what to say.
Well, what are we doing here?
Talking?
Yeah. I guess.
No comment.
Well, no. No. We're not... I try not to be too lazy. But, yeah.
Well, you do lots of work on RSBand B. I don't think you're lazy.
If I was lazy, I'd just sit back and play some shooting game. All right, next rant. I don't know.
You can...
Closing on that one, just get some more combat levels like I'm doing, and then won't be any
not
problems.
That hard.
Or walk. Walk every time. Your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Depends. I'm going to take a walk. I want to do some research on that one. Oh, well. Anyways, moving on. I hate it when I'm happily doing something in the bank and I see a player trying to scam a newer player. If I see someone breaking the rules, I will go to report them. But some of the report topics require that you have to talk to the person or trade with them recently. I think this is a stupid thing because you could see someone scamming and their friend chat is offline and they will not trade with you. Therefore, you cannot report that player. So I think Jagex should stop those requirements because so many people are getting away because newer players don't know that they are being scammed. That is a good point.
Yeah, but you could also be trying to report players falsely.
Well, yeah, I guess, but say you're standing in, say, I don't know, the Drainer Bank, right?
Okay.
And you're just doing your thing in your bank, organizing your bank, and then somebody else is there. Let's go take this to the extreme for a minute. What's a good example? Help me here.
I don't know, armor?
Yeah, trading, here's a good one. Trading, thinking they're getting selling a dragon chain, thinking they're getting a good deal when they are selling something else that's not really true. That's a huge scam. And you're sitting there and you can't do anything about it to report this person, and then that person doesn't know that they've been scammed. That's the kind of thing that needs to be adjusted, that you can kind of report players like that. So, because there are false reports. I know this for a fact, because a few shows ago I was talking how somebody tried to report me for stealing their gnome ball. But I didn't really steal it, they just passed it to me. So that's kind of funny.
God, people in this world.
Yeah, so that's wrong, that's false reporting, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But saying somebody here says, trimming armor, person gives their rune armor away, and somebody who is less informed will easily give their rune armor away. That's a common scam. People should be able to report for that. So, that's the kind of thing that needs to be adjusted. So in a way, this rant is kind of true and kind of not true.
And actually one that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't see many of those.
No. Nope. No. Oh, well. Rants are rants. Some are good, some are bad. I guess that's the point, to share them with you guys so you guys all know how to rant responsibly on the forums. That's the main reason I think we're doing this rant segment, is to show you guys how to rant responsibly.
Rant class 101. Lesson 1.
Yes, yes.
Don't be stupid.
Rant 101. Rant 101. That's a good class. Maybe we'll offer that at RSB&B one day.
Lesson 1. Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
I know this is very hard for little minds to accomplish, but just try. You'll get it eventually.
Yeah. There's lots of stupid people in the world. I have this thing on MSN. I forget how it goes. There are no stupid questions, only stupid people.
Oh, yeah.
So.
From South Park.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. That's good. Are you outside?
No.
I hear a plane going by.
Well, there's a plane going by outside.
Really? I can hear it.
Jeez.
It's not a jet.
Plane.
Yeah.
How could you hear that? I can hardly hear it.
I could hear it.
My microphone must be really sensitive right now, then.
Yeah, I was able to hear it. And I'm not hearing impaired, by the way. I'm not hearing impaired. I took a hearing test on the website. On this website, it's a flash hearing test. Test your hearing.
I have a hearing problem. I have what's called tinnitus, which is basically an everlasting ring in your ears. It'll never end.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have really sensitive hearing.
Oh, yeah. So you're able to deal with it, though?
Yeah, that's why, every night I sleep with a fan, kind of as white noise.
Oh, yeah. Fan. I see. I'll post a link to this hearing thing, too, just since we talked about it. So, anything you've been doing this week that's notable?
I don't know. This is
school, real life, RuneScape.
This is my first weekend home since August. Every weekend I go to my cabin to hunt.
Oh, yeah? What do you hunt?
Oh, pretty much everything. There's ducks, geese, archery deer, rifle deer, pheasants. Pheasants is something that's really very popular in my area. People from all over the country come. Lots of, the airport's really crowded. It's a tiny regional airport. And there's lots of private jets there.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most popular sport. Just because, waterfowl hunting with ducks, I like that even better. One of my friends who's really a big pheasant hunter, we took him duck hunting one time. He said he liked it better, but our state only offers 4,000 non-resident licenses, so people can't really get that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I was just going to say something, but I forgot. I hate it when that happens. So.
I don't like colds.
Oh, no.
I have one.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure you'll get over it. I think we're almost done. Some RSB&B matters for this week. RSB&B matters. Submissions are coming along nicely. You guys have been doing a great job sending stuff in. We got quest guides coming in, items and stuff like that. However, there is one small thing that I was told to mention from Trekkie, is that the treasure trails, there's a treasure trails guide going and the mini game guide ones. So basically, if you do a clue, be sure to submit info on it, whether it's a coordinate or stuff like that. Coordinate, map, anagram, stuff like that. So
help us.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, so basically submit treasure trail stuff and anything else. Any information you can offer is good, just as long as it's not false. False information is bad. So, I think that about does it for this show.
Only in America. Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America are there handicapped parking places in front of a skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes at the front.
Yeah, it's the same thing here, actually.
Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. I just don't understand that. Only in America do banks leave both doors open and then chain pens to the counters.
Oh, God.
And this is true. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our useless junk in the garage. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls and then have call waiting so we don't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. This one's my favorite. Only in America do we use the word politics to describe the process so well. Poly, in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures.
And yeah, that's funny.
Only in America do they have drive-up ATM machines with Braille lettering.
Huh.
Because blind people drive.
Yeah. Do they? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, well. I think we're done. I don't have any jokes, but Chris has a joke website that he maintains.
Yeah, it's southwell.co.nr.
Alrighty.
Mm-hmm. Come visit it.
I'm
thinking of putting forums on it if Dan ever gets his website with free forum hosting.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm at chain.rsbnb.com, the Daily Bits. I also did an interesting Flashy Friday this week. Be sure to take a look at that. Anyways, we're done. I've been Shane1288 with
Chris, moderator.
Bye-bye.
Peace out, y'all.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I think that went well.
Yeah. It would have been more exciting if Eco was here. Should I stop recording?
This has been episode 19 of RSBNB Update, recorded Saturday, October 22nd, 2005. Next week's show will be recorded next Saturday, October 29th, 2005. You'll be able to post questions in the topic that will be created, as well as send questions to questions@rsbnb.com. Enjoy.